Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MPW Digital Podcast Network proudly presents McCrady and Siski, powered by Rain Total Body Fuel. Join longtime SEC beat writer Neil McCrady and former South Alabama assistant, Alabama staffer, and Ole Miss recruiting coordinator Tyler Siski for an hour of football and fun. Listen and enjoy as they talk ball, the national landscape, and much, much more. Now, here's your host, in the Clark Ford Studios, Neil McCrady.
Welcome into episode 169 of McCrady and Siski, powered by Rain Total Body Fuel. I'm Neil McCrady. That, of course, is Tyler Siski here on this Monday, the final Monday of April 2024. Hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. As May gets close, May the 1st is on Wednesday.
It is. It's almost here.
Which means May the 4th is right around the corner. Cinco de Mayo right around the corner. Mother's Day right around the corner.
When is Mother's Day?
May the 11th, I believe.
Okay, so it's not this coming weekend, weekend after, correct?
That is correct.
All right.
Whatever that Sunday is, right. 11th, 12th, somewhere there.
I got to be on my P's and Q's for that one. That's the one that
is. Is that a big one in your house?
That's the one that gets your ass fired around my house.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
Really?
Get your ass fired at my house.
More important than Thanksgiving?
More important than anything.
Really?
Yeah. That's the one that will get your ass fired at my house.
Now, is that because she grew up with that being a real big
No, it's day? Her, my mom. It's a thing. I don't know what it is.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't have to be, like, it's not about gifts and things like that.
May the 12th, Hardman says. I knew it was either the 11th or 12th.
Appreciate you keeping me out of jail, though, Hardman. That's very nice of you.
Just know it's Sunday.
I know it's Sunday.
2 weeks from yesterday.
2 weeks from yesterday, yeah. But my wife, it's more about... what they call them, acts of service, where she can just go chill out and I'll take care of the house, take care of the kids. If she doesn't have to do shit on Sunday, I win. That's pretty much what you got to do.
Okay.
And dinner, breakfast, kids, church.
Interesting.
Get everybody up. If she can wake up and not do shit on that Sunday, I win.
Interesting.
Yeah. I did make a mistake.
Bigger than Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. A lot bigger than Christmas. So Thursday, I was reminded, she's not good with dates, but Thursday is May the 2nd. And mm-hmm. that would mean that we have been together for 26 years come Thursday. Not an anniversary. We started dating on that day. That was the day we met.
Oh. So boy, I'm glad I'm not held to that because I don't remember the...
Which is more important than the wedding anniversary, by the way.
I couldn't tell you that date.
Which is also more important than the wedding anniversary, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. So, hey, things in my house for 400
hours. We could study like the psychology of this right now. We should get Aaron on and we could get into this.
Well, that wouldn't happen.
Dive into why those are the big days.
I was trying to get her to call into the show the other night and she's like, I'm going to bed. Leave me alone.
Which is pretty much most... Yeah, it's like most nights, right?
All but three times, Neil. I am. You cannot take those three times away from me. I'm a three-time world champ.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm like 3 for 10,000, you know, which, yeah. Hey, gets you in the Father's Hall of Fame.
It does.
It does.
It does.
First ballot dad Hall of Famer. Success rate, 3 of 10,000.
So do you cook them? I'm fascinated by this, everybody. I'm sorry. We're going to talk about the NFL draft. Do you cook? Do you take her out? What's the...
I'll cook.
I grew up, and don't get me wrong, my parents have been married for 55 years, I think. But we didn't do up Father's Day, Mother's Day big. It just wasn't like a big thing. And then when Laura and I got married, those were big days in her deal. And it took me a while to understand, okay, this is a thing, and I got to accept that this is a thing, because growing up, it was not a thing. You might have said, hey, happy Mother's Day, but you didn't. Hey, we must dote on mom all day long. Didn't happen.
It's just, I don't know, man. It's just one of those things. I'll cook. I don't know. I hadn't decided yet. We'll figure it out. Okay. I'm pretty good at it.
Okay.
I've managed. She's been around this long. I've done something right.
Yeah, I guess so.
Done something right.
I guess so. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I will be in Vicksburg, I think, that day.
Soccer again.
They qualified for the state.
Nowhere closer. They couldn't do it in Jackson. Couldn't meet you halfway.
Well, it was the one thing, and I'm not one to like complain about these things because it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
But on Saturday, when 2 o'clock rolled around and we didn't get started, and I'm,
what's that, 5 hour drive?
No, a little over 3 hours.
Three.
By the way, phenomenal facility. Give them credit. Sports Force Park, I think. Mm-hmm. Big time. Excellent. But I'm walking around, getting my steps in, listening to Rogan. And got to about 2:45 and I started thinking, you know, this is kind of crazy. A team of kids that are mostly from Oxford, Tupelo, Pontotoc. Got a kid from Corinth. Playing a team from DeSoto County. Most of them Hernando.
Yeah, I drove 3 hours to meet and go play.
Yeah, I was like, Was there no way we could meet in Batesville or something? I mean, I would have just said, yeah, we'll come to Hernando and play, right? We'll meet at South Haven and play.
You don't have your argument with me on that one.
Senatobia got a field.
Been there, done that.
Anybody got something? I mean, what do we need? We need a soccer field and a head ref and two of the lines judgmen and someone to keep the clock, and we're good. I mean, where do we need to play this thing? Instead, it's Vicksburg, which, again, lovely facility, great field. They did a great job. I've got their concessions.
Yeah,
I thought about you. Their concessions, I didn't partake, but they were readily available. I mean, all sorts. It was awesome.
I got your concession report coming up.
Oh, and I got one for you. Normally, at these soccer tournaments, and I've gone to now 7,482 of these tournaments, and they always take cash. And I'm not a cash person. I don't ever carry cash.
Right.
Because the kids take it from you. And then you just get into the habit of not having it.
And they can't count.
And I have cash. And she goes, it's card only. And I was like, oh, great. Wow. Look, really?
Did she upcharge you?
No. No. She took my card, processed it, done.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
And we do card, the complete concession stand. Okay. If you want to be a complete concession stand, you got to do cash, you got to do card, and you got to do Venmo. Those are the complete ones.
Oh.
Those do exist.
How about that?
Yeah, those exist.
Yeah, I guess it's like Apple Pay or something.
And you don't, and not doing a, and not knowing what the concession stand takes before you get there is very, you got to come prepared. You got to bring cash, you got to bring card. You always got your phone, so you're good.
Yeah, Hardman and I are on the same page here because I mean, you've got to remember the day that you met Aaron.
I don't have to, I just remember it.
Okay. Y'all celebrate it.
No, not really.
Okay.
No, we don't celebrate it. It's just,
I think Laura
and I married a very simple woman, like as far as that stuff's concerned.
I think we started dating in the spring.
It's just.
I'm not positive.
Yeah. I'm not going into the whole personal story here. There's a lot behind it, but yeah, we met on May the 2nd, 1998.
Okay.
There's a lot of story there. I'll tell a story one day if I can get permission without getting fired, because yeah. I'm not getting fired at the house for that.
No, it's not worth getting fired.
Not worth getting fired to house.
Although at this point, you're this intertwined, firing is going to be difficult.
Yeah, it's not firing. I like to keep the peace.
Yeah, I understand.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I got enough shit going on in my life. I don't need I don't need that to be hectic.
You don't
too.
Need that drama.
Yeah, I don't need that either. I got to have at least one place that where I go.
Yeah.
One place. That's all I require. I'm a simple man, Neil.
Yeah.
I need one place that I can go that I don't have to worry about somebody motherfucking me every 5 seconds. Do we make it? We're still good on TikTok. We haven't been kicked off by TikTok yet,
right.
So we're good.
All right, so
all right, tell them about Rain before we get going.
Oh man, I forgot to do that.
That's all right.
Bob's cool. We're brought to you by Rain Total Body Fuel. 300 milligrams natural caffeine, BCAAs, electrolytes, zero sugar. It's got what you need to push the limits and achieve your goals. So check them out on Instagram at Rain Body Fuel to learn more.
As my man Mark Browning said in the Cooper Chevrolet chat, it's already bumping, Neil. Just to remind everybody, check this out. April 30th, which is tomorrow, is the final day of the current low 2.19 APR on select Car Bravo certified used vehicles at Cooper Chevrolet. You can get Chevys. You can get Buicks. You can get GMCs. You can get Fords, Neil. You can get Toyotas, Nissans, and or Jeeps. Plus, everyone comes with a heap of exciting benefits. Call 256-236-4481. That's 256-236-4481. And tell them that their favorite two bald-headed podcast hosts, McCready and Siski, sent you. And they'll probably throw in an extra air freshener for you.
How about that?
How about that?
Awesome.
How about that? So, all right, Neil, as alluded to, had a heavy baseball weekend. So the wife and I, so after Thursday, woke up, feel like shit on Friday morning, as you can probably imagine. Anybody that listened to our marathon of a show on Thursday night, 5.5 hours. If you're on TikTok and you're bored and you're driving like from here to Alaska or something, we got a show that will get you all the way there. All right. So, I was struggling a little bit Friday morning when I woke up. I don't think I care. Dude, rain is the best thing in America for a hangover.
Yeah.
I felt like shit. And I knew this is helping. So, dude, I went cherry limeade. I went rain heavy. First thing Friday morning, about 30 minutes later, felt like $1 million. It's the greatest thing ever. So I don't know if that's intending consequences, but it works. So Friday, we had the wife and I had to rock, paper, scissors because my middle son had a high school playoff game. And Knox had the first kid pitch for the Oxford Royals. Brother. So may or may not have cheated a little bit in the paper, rock, scissors. I manipulated the game a little bit. I apologized to Drew, all of our friends at the Oxford Royals, but I was not going to that game on Friday night. So I went to the Chargers game. The wife went and took kids' pitch from me.
Kids' pitch is brutal.
Well, dude.
Brutal.
All right. Normally when we come back on Monday after a baseball tournament, we have icks. I really don't have a whole lot of icks because I didn't witness anything. There wasn't anything to be icked about.
Okay.
I wasn't there Friday. They played two Friday and then played one on Sunday. And they played a team, it was like comical a little bit. We made it 2.5 innings in 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Ball four?
It was 4-4 after one, Neil.
Ball eight?
No, it was 4-4 after the bottom of the second.
Ball
and then
16.
The team that we played went on a 20. That's right. I said it. They went on a 20-0 run with no outs.
No, that's it. How old are these kids? Eight.
All right. So nine. I don't know how old it was. A 9-year-old tournament, but there were some 8-year-old teams that are because you're making that transition next year or whatever.
Yep.
So I have no idea, but I can just tell you this. I'm pretty sure my man Drew could correct me. I don't know if we recorded a single out in that game that was off a batted ball.
So this is one of the things that really, I think this bothers me and it's stupid. It. I remember when
they got to start sometime,
but eight's too soon.
It's well, nine is all you know. Nine is all,
right, yeah. But you wait till they're nine. Let them play baseball because when they're eight, there aren't enough of them that can pitch.
Oh,
and so it's just walks, and then the kids who are scared of the ball, they're gonna get hit. The one and look, they're little kids. Don't do the get tough. Be come on, stop. Just stop. And then no one improves their hitting because they begin to learn, all I have to do is stand here and I'll get to first base. Or the umpire goes, all right, if it crosses the plate somewhere in the northern hemisphere, I'm calling it a strike.
That's what I said. After it was 20-0, I said, if the ball gets into the dirt, it's going to be a strike, boys.
Yeah, and it's just, but that's not, we're not even playing baseball. There is a fix to this. There's a fix to it. Get a pitching machine.
I think not.
Let them, when they're 8 years old.
They do coach pitch, and I'm okay with a coach pitch. Like, I like the way Drew does ours, because he doesn't, like, you know, he right. throws it, you know, around a little bit. I'm okay with the kids' pitch. I'm okay with pitch machine, too. I don't care. But, yeah, 20-0 run, boss. That was bad. I mean, it was – and my man Knox was catching. All right. So he was catching. I had no idea that he was going to be catching. He was tired when he came home. I'm not joking when I tell you this. I'll bet you our pitchers threw 150. Well, now he didn't, and Drew was great with him. Drew's pitched before he gets it, so he wouldn't let him go past like 20 or 25 sure. pitches. But we changed pitchers like 14 times in the second inning. I'm pretty sure Knox caught 100. We had 150 pitches to the plate in the second inning. It went. How about this? The second inning, Neil. The bottom of the second inning lasted an hour and 2 minutes.
Are they? it's dumb. See, I don't do well with illogical things. And that's illogical.
That was great.
Like, there's a lack of common sense in that, okay, is what we're doing right now remotely productive? No. Is what we're doing right now all that entertaining? No. Then what are we doing it for?
I sent Drew I texted him in the middle of the game, the Rocky emoji. Throw the damn towel.
Did he laugh?
Yeah. It was great. All right.
That was good.
Yeah, but it's hard to watch, man. It's brutal. I'm glad we didn't. So,
as opposed to, you can put the pitching machine on, and all of a sudden guys are hitting the ball, and kids start making plays, and they're hitting the ball, and they're learning to run bases and stuff, because you can't teach 8-year-olds how to pitch. It's not, they're not ready for it. A handful are.
But no, the
majority aren't ready. And so why do you force that? It's dumb. It's dumb. I had this fight here with people.
There needs to be a transition. I don't know. There needs to be, you know, a transition from like true coach pitch, where they're standing real close and doing that. Yeah, and then backing it up.
Called a pitching machine.
Probably needs to be a transition, but it is what it is. But I didn't have a lot of icks because there wasn't. I wasn't there long enough to really demonstrate. I think we had a couple of icks, but I didn't witness any, so I didn't want to like have any write-ins or anything. All right, but the really good game, Oxford High School, my other son, they played Germantown in the first round. Two really evenly matched teams. Friday night was a hell of a game. Brady Stinnett, who is the Ole Miss, I guess, signee now. Pitched for the Chargers, the Oxford Chargers, and I can't think of the kid's name that was the pitch for Germantown. He was good, too. Both of them pitched the whole game. Both of them were right around 110, 111 pitches or whatever it was the whole game. Both threw great. Brady walked it off. He did it at the plate. He hit a two-run homer early in the game, and then bottom of the seventh tie game, walked it off with a home run, had a hell of a game. And then we went down there Saturday. And both pitchers, again, pitched their ass off, lost 2-1. Controversial play at the plate. I'm not going to call out any umpires except for got to be right in big games like that. It was a pretty rough play at the plate. That was
Did he miss it?
He missed it.
Yeah.
And I get that you're going to miss calls, but there's a reason you have three umpires out there. And there was no other action going on. There was a runner at third, one out, ball was hit to right field, play at the plate. He shouldn't even – it was a shallow right field. But it was a tie game. I get the third base coach pressing it, trying to force something. But throw was up the line, probably about 3 or 4 feet. But still was out by a mile. Kid tried to slide around. He slapped him on the back as he was going by, and he out of position and missed it. But my question is what's the guy – I mean, the first guy at first base I know saw it. But they don't want to, you know, overturn and cause issues. I don't know, on the road. But that was rough. But I don't know if it would have changed the outcome of the game. But it still would have. They still would have had one more at bat and the whole deal. But just got to get things right in big games. You can't call stuff like that. But here was my thing. All right, we're talking about concession stands. If I have an ick, this is my ick. I'm a big hot dog guy. I've spent a lot of nights at the ballpark this spring, and you got to eat dinner at the ballpark, because when you get there at 5 o'clock and you don't leave till 11 o'clock, I mean, if you're either eating dinner or you're not eating, right? You'd probably not eat. I know, but
I'd probably eat something small when I got home.
Right. So, but hey, man, you got to feed this beast. Hot dogs. If you have a grill outside and a hot dog is not a part of that combination, there's a problem.
Agreed.
Don't be boiling your hot dogs and sell them.
100%.
In a concession stand, throw them on a grill. It's not that hard. It takes 2 minutes. Throw them bitches on a grill. It makes all the difference in the world.
Agreed.
So now I have gone. I got two things I ask when I go to, if I go to a fast food place, or I say, is your sweet tea brewed or is it fountain? I ask those two questions because it dictates if I'm getting it or not.
Okay.
Same thing. First question I ask is when I go to every concession stand, are your hot dogs grilled or are they boiled? If they're boiled, I'll go to something else. But if you grilled hot dog, Neil, hard to beat, man.
Yeah.
Hard to beat. So, but Germantown, great concession stand. Probably the second best of all.
How about that?
Second best of the year.
Behind
I think
Grenada?
I think I'm going Lewisburg, man. Lewisburg is pretty stout.
I'm trying to remember Lewisburg, what they had for soccer.
It was a late night, cold night.
I don't remember. I don't even know that they opened it up for soccer.
It's those damn barbecue nachos they put rendezvous sauce on, man. I was like, man, they got it figured out.
Part of what you have to accept when you're soccer is that you are a second-class citizen, maybe even a third-class citizen.
Come on.
Yeah, it's true. You're just not going to have all the same amenities. So, like, we do a pretty good job in Oxford. But it's kind of parent-driven.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It is.
And so we went to some places that it was really good. And then we saw some places that, I want to say Brandon had a really good concession stand.
Haven't been there.
Clinton did.
I'm new to this world, so it's fun to me.
Clinton did Clinton soccer is first class, the whole deal. They're excellent. Everything that they do, there's a really good production, all that stuff. So they were good. I can't remember like Tupelo or Hernando or any of those places. I don't really remember. I'm not a big concession stand person because I'm usually wait till I get back. But I do notice sometimes when there's like obviously options.
You can look at the menu and tell you if they're on point. All right, Neil, we've managed to talk 20 minutes and we haven't even talked any football yet. All right, here we go.
It's good.
Yep. NFL draft recap, some draft stuff and some football stuff going on.
Okay.
I text you Saturday because I knew you'd be fired up. The most Neil McCready draft pick in the history of time. Not only was it just a Neil McCready draft pick, it was your team, the Chicago Bears draft. Spend a fourth round pick.
Yep.
On the punter from Iowa. How fired up are you?
That's a weapon,
dude.
It's as close as the Bears have come to getting me sort of back in a while.
By taking the Iowa punter?
By taking Troy Taylor. Yeah. Troy Taylor's not just a punter. He's the punter.
He's had plenty of reps. Lots of game experience.
I mean, all jokes aside, dude is phenomenal. Like, if you have to punt, you want him to punt. He's really, really good. Look at his numbers. I mean, his ability to place the ball inside the 10 consistently is an elite skill.
Well, he is going to get his practice at the very start of his career.
Well, look, if you're going to play a young quarterback and do some of that, you do want a good punter.
Probably need to have a good punter.
You know what's interesting about that? I didn't watch a lot of NFL draft coverage. I actually didn't. But I didn't either. I didn't see a ton of criticism of that pick.
Well, no, you knew he was going to get – I mean, that's the thing is when you got a guy like that, and the same thing with all specialist kickers, they're going to get – like most, I would say 90% of – 90, probably more than that, probably 95% of NFL kickers and punters go undrafted and they're free agents.
You know what, Hayden? That's the jersey I want. I actually do want a Troy Taylor Bears jersey.
That would be great.
That would be funny to have the punter's jersey.
You know he's going to have some wacky number, too.
I wonder what number he will wear.
I don't know. It'd be interesting. Because now, you know, we're getting more and more into the because you got the single digits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they had those rules about moving to single digits from people. But now as more and more people leave the NFL, now those guys are going – as they're coming into the NFL, the skill guys are going to take the single digits. And so they're
punters are going to be the 90-somethings.
Yeah, punters are going to start having – kickers and punters are going to start, as time goes on, getting wacky numbers. Because
these guys have number one or two.
Well, because it used to be a rule, right?
I mean, single digits kickers and punters.
Yeah, it used to be a rule. So, all right, I want to talk about this. We mentioned him on our draft show the other night. Spencer Rattler goes all the way at 150 as the next quarterback off the board. It was the largest margin in the common draft area between quarterbacks, between pick 12 and 150 before the next guy went off. But Spencer Rattler goes to the Saints. I think it's good for the Saints. Good pick there. I'm okay with this. I did not see this as a big problem. I kind of figured when he wasn't getting picked around the third round that this was probably what it was. And I don't remember if it was Ian Rapoport or Scheffner. I said it right that time. I don't remember who was talking about it, but a lot of the GMs privately said they were staying away from him because of his they were staying away from him because of the QB1 series that he did on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was wild that, you know, what he did at 17 years old, not wild. I mean, it's what happens is maybe it needs to be a lesson for all of these in a social media age and of the new docuseries that everybody's doing and it's getting more and more popular with younger guys. Because the way he was on that series, what he did at 17, really as a high school junior, crushed him 6 years, 7 years down the line and cost him millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I personally, from what I can tell and what I've heard, think he's matured. Shocker, you're not 16 or 17 years old anymore.
Yeah, that's an odd thing for the NFL. Given some of the characteristics,
they said it.
Some of the characteristics that they take, I mean, like a lot of them, you're going to get hung up on what a guy did at 16 and 17 and not what he did at 21, 22. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. So, but I think it's a good pick for the Saints. I really do.
It's kind of a taking a lottery pick.
Because you can't,
when I say lottery pick, I mean in the sense of going to the convenience store and getting the
because they don't have any guaranteed money tied up in him, right?
Right.
Once you get out of the second round, there is no guaranteed money. So for him, I mean, for the Saints, you got a cheap backup. And from a talent perspective, he's just as talented as any of those guys that won the first round. I mean, the kid's talented now.
Yeah.
He's immensely talented.
Yeah, for sure.
And so if you get the guy to act on his best behavior, you know, we did this back when I was coming out of college too with a guy named Randy Moss. Now, this guy fell all the way in the first round because he was supposed to be a top whatever pick. You know, we did it about 8 years ago with a guy named Laramie Tunsil. Okay, well, both those guys worked out. You remember that draft?
I do. I do remember that draft.
But, you know, we kind of over...
I almost didn't come home from Chicago. I just said, you know what, I probably just wanted to kind of see if I could make it here.
Was that where the draft was that time?
Yeah,
Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I
bet you remember that draft.
I do. I was in the
Manning
hotel. No, not uh-uh. Oh, I was not? Gone. I was out recruiting. I was gone. I was not here.
Okay.
I was at another school. I was out recruiting and I was getting
were you not at Ole Miss anymore? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's right.
And I was at another school and I was
that's right.
My phone was blowing up asking about what's going on. Because everybody's like didn't think he was gonna be there and all of a sudden he's gonna be there. So a lot of teams had not done their homework because they didn't think that they had a chance of getting him. And all of a sudden, they tried to do 6 months of work in a 15-minute phone call.
If you were picking outside of like five or six, there was no reason for you to think that Laramie Tunsil was going to be there.
No, and that was stupid that he failed. And
it
cost him millions of dollars then, but he's kind of made it up.
Oh, you know.
He's all right.
He's all right.
He'll be all right. He's a baller. All right, this is going to shock
me. We all kind of recovered from that night over the course of time.
That's it. Everybody's good.
Took Laramie about 6 years. It's funny, it took me about 6 years.
6 years. It's the going rate these days from recovery from draft night. All right. This is going to shock you. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Everybody likes to find correlations, right? Correlations with the draft and all this stuff. This is going to shock you. This is the schools that had the most NFL draft picks. See if you notice anything unusual about the top four, Neil. The top four were Michigan at 13, Texas at 11, Washington at 10, and Alabama at 10. What do you notice about those four teams?
They went to the playoffs.
They went to the four-team playoff.
There you go.
You know who was tied for fourth?
Georgia.
No, they actually had eight.
Okay. I don't.
Florida State, who went undefeated before, you know, they had their issues.
So you're telling me it's important to have NFL caliber
it's
players
on your
team.
It's kind of important to have NFL players on your team. I know that is shocking for everyone.
Frankly, it's one of the ways that when you're doing preseason, if you know personnel well enough, it's almost how you can just be foolproof.
If you can sit there and say how many draft picks they have, and if you look who was next, like down the pecking order, it was like Georgia was 8, Oregon was 8. Mm-hmm. USC was 7. That was probably, I guess, the most disappointing or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But of, I guess, record compared to draft picks. But it's almost like it matters to have NFL players on your college team. All right. I can't wait. You got anything to go talk about before we get going about that spot?
No.
We good?
That's not surprising. I mean, you know, basically as a rule, the NFL – they're going to take a whole lot of guys from the SEC and a whole lot of guys from the Big Ten, and there's a reason for that.
SEC led again, 59 draft picks for every year since 2006. Yeah, it'll be 20 years. It'll end up being 20. I don't know. It depends on now. You got 16 teams versus 18 teams in the Big Ten, so we'll see. Maybe that does something, but it'll be interesting to see. All right, I want to talk about this. This came out. Last couple of days, it may have came out Thursday, I can't remember. I remember seeing it close to Thursday. The NFL, this is where I'm going to lose probably some people on here. The NFL is going to allow guardian caps to be used during games. Okay, so for the people who don't know, the guardian cap is it's the thing that looks like a pillow that they put on top of their helmet at practice. The NFL is going to allow players to wear those during the games. Various different studies say that it cuts concussions, all those things. This is probably where I'm going to lose everybody. I got mixed emotions on this. Okay. I personally, so I've had it happen in my house. So I know ever since probably people have been wearing these things at practice. The NFL started like mandatory making them wear them at practice during camp and stuff a couple years ago. I think it teaches bad habits too. And this is just me. Okay. This is no studies done behind this. I think it gets kids, especially younger kids, start getting their head more involved in the game instead of protecting themselves. And then when they get in a game and they don't have it on, it's leading to concussions in the game because they are practicing with their head in the way. You know, it's kind of like, and you've seen these practices over the years, mm-hmm. even when I was covering them, right?
Yep.
Is we would get a lot of work done in shorts with no shoulder pads on because you have to learn how to practice. Well, that also translates into the game because you're playing with your hands more, things like that. Those things correlate because that's the way you practice. When you practice with those on, is it going to eliminate concussions at practice? 100% it is. But it also, when you take those things off, you start putting your head, because you're used to putting your head into situations.
Muscle memory.
Yeah. And
yeah,
that's how I feel about it. Now, as far as the NFL is going to allow them to wear them to games, I laughed. Neil, you're going to laugh when I tell you this.
I just realized why it's so dark in here.
Oh.
That light went out. Keep going.
Did it go out or did we ever turn it on? But probably for the last look, let there be light. That light was not on, by the way. Okay. There's no way that was on. I would have that now where it's like it just turned up in here. All right. So for me, I've coached receivers for however long. Hell, I played the position. Ever since I started playing at Auburn University in 1996. Receivers and skill players do everything they can to not wear pads. I mean, you've seen this. Yeah. I mean, NFL, they don't even wear leg pads at all. It's not a rule. They don't wear, like, you watch any NFL receiver, except for the big boys, but most NFL receivers don't wear knee or thigh pads. College receivers wouldn't wear them if you didn't allow it. Skill players wouldn't wear them at all. And now you're going to tell them, now you think the same guy's going to go wear a pillow on top of his head? I don't see that. I think they're going to allow it. I don't know how many are actually going to wear it. That's question one. Two is this. Neil, I know you're going, you know, half the people may even disagree with me. But by the history books, 55 years ago, I think my math's right on that. 55 years ago, we managed to put three human beings inside of a tin can and send their ass to the moon and then brought them back home.
Allegedly.
I know 50% of Americans will disagree with me. Allegedly, that's what we did. So you're telling me.
Allegedly.
So you're telling me that 55 years since we sent three people to the moon and brought them back.
Allegedly,
that the best thing that we can do to stop concussions is to strap a pillow on top of somebody's head. There's got to be a better technology or better thing we can do to help that.
Well, I mean, they've done a lot.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, they've done a lot. I don't think you can ever take you're ever going to be able to fully take head injuries out of football. They've done a lot to legislate bad hits out of the game. I think they've done a lot to try to incentivize safety and make illegal or potentially harmful hits punitive.
Took the hip drops going in this year. I mean, they've done a lot.
Look, if the science is that those things change, and I don't know, I haven't studied it. If the science is that those helmets change concussions, then they should become a part of the uniform, and everyone should wear them. If something reduces concussions in football, then you should do that something.
And the studies are in practice right now, right?
Yeah.
And you know, like I know.
And that's my point.
There's two different things, yeah, right?
Practices and games aren't the same thing.
No.
But if you want to study it, like, frankly, this is an XFL thing they should do. Wear padded helmets.
Great point.
Let's see if it cuts down on concussions. If you can get to a place where you go, scientifically, this is a proven fact. Okay. Then you should do it. Because, look, I don't like the way they look. I prefer the way the glossy helmet looks. But if that's going to protect players more, then you should absolutely do it. But you don't need to do something in practice that, in theory, eliminates or helps reduce concussions. And then when you get to a game, which is already more physical and more intense because, duh, go, okay, and we're going to take that away now. So you're going to let me practice with something that's going to reduce concussions. And I'm going to get into some bad habits and then go into the game and you're going to take my seatbelt off.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, hey, in driver's ed, we're going to wear a seatbelt. And once we get out on the highway, no seatbelt for you, little Johnny. Let's see how it works. No,
just,
I mean, that's
like Jackson's not driving.
Again, we're just not. Sometimes we in society just don't have a common sense guy in the room.
And again, this is where if we're going to do the, and people talk about, you know, concussions and, putting a pillow on top of everybody's head. If they want to, if they really wanted, and this is where I get a little, I don't know, I get a little cynical about it because they still don't want to address this. A much larger problem than concussions with wearing the Guardian and not the Guardian is playing on artificial turf versus natural grass. That's a bigger problem. A much larger problem.
Yeah.
Much, much, much larger problem.
Yeah.
And that can, and by the way, oh, that can also contributes to concussions when you bounce your head off of
no doubt
off of turf versus natural grass.
Look, just so, get out on a go find a soccer field, okay?
Yeah,
go find a really well manicured grass soccer field. You don't have to just go for a light jog. You don't even have to cut and stuff. You don't have to fall and hit your head.
You
just
know,
go for a light jog. Then go get on a turf field. Even the most manicured, well-kept, well-maintained turf field, and do the same light jog. Tell me which one made you sore.
Oh yeah, I mean,
and look,
it kills you. It kills my, like, I don't know why, and I don't jog or run. I never jog or ran. I mean, I guess I did, but my back, it killed my back at practice when we were on turf. If I ever spent a lot of time on turf, my back would lock up, my lower back. I don't know. I don't understand the science behind it. I'm an old ass man, but my back, my lower back would be just done at the end of a practice or a game on artificial turf.
Yeah.
Coaching.
Yeah.
So you're 100% right.
It's because it just doesn't give the same way.
No. All right. The two things that blew my mind in the draft One, we had a great real moment with our good friend David Beatty on the draft. This Michael Penix Jr. thing, even after the draft and over the weekend thinking about it, it still makes no sense to me. Two things I don't understand is you had $100 million guaranteed. I went and did a little more extensive research into his contract. He's guaranteed $100 million. And you took another quarterback, one. And two, they didn't even tell him until they were getting ready to turn the card in. That's weird to me. You don't make a $100 million investment into a human being and not say, hey, just give you a heads up, no big deal, da-da-da-da-da. That communication didn't go over well.
Well, you probably know what I'm about to say. Just because someone's in a position of power doesn't mean they're smart.
It was bad.
Dude. And one of the things that you – people talk about the NFL, and one of the things that makes the NFL so interesting and frankly so exciting is that as a fan, if, capital I, capital F, your organization is run efficiently – you're probably always going to have cycles of contention. The league is built that way. It is designed in every facet for parity. But the part that you can't ever design for, nobody in the room can ever go, okay, here's how we're going to make this league as even as possible, because that's what they want. They want
everybody 8-8 or 9-8.
Basically. And they want you to always have the ability to tell your fans, we are close. But the part that you can't do is you can't factor in judgment and intelligence.
Yep.
And in this case, this pick, maybe it works out. But if it works out with Penix, who's an older player, by the way, why did you do all this stuff with Cousins?
Well, it just tells you that. I don't know if it was Rappaport or Scheffner that said that. But one of them said that the fact that they waited till the pick got turned in tells you that they and that they gave him $100 million tells you they had no idea that they were going to do that until the last second.
But why?
But you should have known he was going to be there at 8 regardless. That's the thing. The why is the question. We'll never know, but that's why I'm
But
confused.
Look, if you wanted to take Penix, you could have traded down a few spots.
Oh, yeah.
Gotten some more assets.
That's the whole quandary.
But if you've targeted Michael Penix Jr.
At worst, you could have got him at 11. So that gives you 9, 10.
But you have the 8.
You three options.
But if you've
traded,
why are you drafting Cousins? Now you're going to have a problem. And Cousins, look, I like Cousins, good dude from all accounts, but kind of sensitive.
Yeah,
it's who he is. Now he's a really good quarterback. He's a good leader. All that stuff.
As years goes by, he's going to be a better quarterback because the older ones are leaving. So age is only going to help him. He's a top 10. He's right around, probably in my opinion, around the 10th spot quarterback. So he's top third of the
NFL. You're going to go draft a kid to be looming in his shadow.
An older kid.
I mean, you're better off getting an A.J. McCarron type of quarterback in the locker room with Kirk Cousins.
He's having a good year, by the way.
Yeah, but you understand my point?
Yep.
You put A.J. in that situation. He's a veteran. And you go, hey, look, your job is to support Kirk. Be ready. If he gets hurt, you got to go in and play. Be ready to play. But assuming he's healthy, he's our quarterback, and we bringing you in here to give him an extra set of eyes, an extra set of ears, help him watch film, be a pro, be a teammate, open communication, and a guy. And I'm not necessarily referring to AJ himself, but guys like him.
Yeah,
would go, okay, that's my job. You're going to pay me. I'm good. I'll come in. I'll do that. And Cousins isn't going to balk at that. This kid's going to be a distraction for
from
Cousins.
From day one.
A problem.
Because they
And when he has a bad game, a bad series, a bad month, the fans are going to be doing the, we want Penix, all that stuff. And now you have problems. It's just a stupid move.
Yeah. Trying to think, see this guy's name. Jonathan Morris on TikTok said, if you want someone to sit behind a vet and learn, it shouldn't be an early first round pick. Agree.
It's modern football now, you draft the early round guy he's going to play.
Agree.
And so when you draft a quarterback in the first round, one of the reasons that the bust rate is kind of what it is because there was a day, I guess when I was a kid back in the Stone Age, when young quarterbacks, like Peyton Manning didn't start till the very end of his rookie year.
What's the – everybody, they want immediate returns right now.
Yeah.
On everything.
And so you know that when you draft the 8th pick in the draft – and he doesn't play, that his not playing is going to be a big story.
Yep.
And what happens if he gets sulky?
Well, he's got 4 years guaranteed money too. So he's not going anywhere for 4 years.
Yeah.
Your first round, you got four-year guaranteed money.
I mean.
And you got $100 million in the other guy. So you're either going to take a bath in the cap or you're going to trade a – or you're going to trade him, and then you're going to trade a first-round pick. I bet you don't get a first-round pick in return for it, so you just wasted a pick.
Yeah, I don't get it.
All right, the other thing I didn't understand, this is a little later in the draft, the Cowboys not taking a running back, okay? They didn't take a running back the entire damn draft.
Yeah.
Not the entire draft. After Jerry Jones commented about how much he loved the Texans, Jonathan Brooks at Texas, and best interview he's had in years – don't take a running back the entire draft. But what did they do today instead, Neil? They bring back Ezekiel Elliott on a one-year deal. Boy, that's good. That'll work.
Again, just because people are in positions of authority.
Like, I want to like the Cowboys, man.
Why?
Because I got kids that play on the Cowboys, and I want them to succeed.
Just because you're in a position of authority doesn't mean you make good decisions. There's a reason that Dallas has struggled. There's a reason that Kansas City has excelled. There's a reason that Pittsburgh, for the most part, has excelled. It's the one thing you can't build into the system is you can't build in good decision making.
All right, this is not things I don't understand. I just think this was funny. After Cole did a video on it, we had Tom on here, and we're talking about Joe Milton. So Joe Milton gets drafted by the New England Patriots. Okay, this is a message to Joe.
The same Patriots that drafted Drake May.
The same New England Patriots. That is correct. All right, so here's my message to Joe Milton. Joe Milton was drafted becoming the fifth quarterback in the New England Patriots room. Got Jacoby Brissett.
Okay.
Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey Zappi. Okay.
Okay.
Just by the old rules, just in case anybody doesn't know, NFL will carry a max of three quarterbacks on the roster.
Well,
Rourke, who's a second-year guy, which he won't make it. And then they got Milton. So this tells me this. Joe Milton, you got two choices. You can either change positions or you'll be on the chopping block.
Yeah, Drake May's going to be the quarterback. Jacoby Brissett's going to be the season.
One or the other, right?
Yeah. Drake May's going to be the quarterback.
You think?
Eventually.
Okay.
Week four, week five, whatever. Okay. Jacoby Brissett's going to be that veteran, good dude, great locker room guy. You can count on him. He'll be ready. He'll help. He'll do all of the things that you ask a veteran backup caliber quarterback to do. And Jacoby Brissett, mark my words, will have a job in the NFL for as long as he can literally walk out there and throw a ball.
He kicked our ass 1 year when he was at NC State. I was at South Alabama.
He's a pro's pro.
Big dude.
So there's your number two, and then
Bailey Zappi.
There's your third.
Joe Milton better not play tight end, or he's getting traded.
But why waste your fifth round pick?
I don't know.
Why not take? I mean, like,
I don't know. That was
same round Jacksonville went and took their kicker.
Yeah, I don't know.
Take somebody who's going to be your guy.
Man, Will Riker got picked up, huh? Is that who drafted him?
No,
who drafted Will Riker?
I don't know.
Somebody spent a draft pick on him.
Cam Little.
Cam got drafted.
Yeah, fifth round.
How about that?
Fifth round, sixth round, Jacksonville.
Good for
Isn't
him.
Isn't that right?
Good for him.
Pretty sure.
Cam
the kicker.
Funny stuff. Nick Saban, I don't know if you saw this. Nick Saban was snitching on himself a little bit. I thought this was kind of funny. He was talking about the Toledo cornerback, Quinyon Mitchell, that got picked. He said he was our number one guy in the portal last year, and he would never get in the portal. Said it live on TV. Yeah. I love him. I love him.
Well, I mean, as I've said many times, why we act like, I mean, the fans that I like get the, not angriest, I just turn them off immediately, is when they go, tampering. Yes. Are they tampering? Yes.
Yes. Name said college. Yes.
Yes. Your roster is being tampered with.
Yes.
And the people at your place are tampering with other rosters.
Yes.
Period.
I thought that was great, though. I thought that was great. And everybody's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was like, guys, y'all are a little late to the party, boys. A little late to the party. All right. Neil, I know you're excited. By the time we meet again on Thursday, the spring portal window will be closing. The official date of the spring portal closing is tomorrow. Grad transfers can go in on the 1st. Now, with that being said, let me make sure that before somebody goes, well, Siski said on the podcast, the portal's closing tomorrow. they have until tomorrow night at midnight, I guess 11:59, to notify them that they're going into the portal. The school has 48 hours on top of that to put them in the portal. So you will see guys leak out on all day. That'll be Wednesday and Thursday. You'll see guys leak out into the portal. So I made a couple calls today, this morning, doing what I do for a living. The pace is picking up. I got a number. I need to verify that number.
Yep.
The number I got was extremely high of what I thought it would be, more than what we talked about last week. I want to check that before I give official numbers. But I got a really high number this morning, more than what I predicted, a lot more than
that
I predicted.
That surprises me, honestly.
And said that today has been nuts. And in the first, I think it was the first 2 hours of work, business hours this morning, 25 kids had officially gone on the portal. So I know things have been picking up since last week. It definitely is picking up. Now, with that being said, it's not necessarily a there's not like massive big names and stuff like that going in the portal, just a lot of scholarship players going in the portal, which goes to reckon you're going to sit here with at the end of the day, we're going to end up having too many people in the portal with not enough spots. So there's going to be a lot of kids left without homes. I thought you would find this interesting. And I saw this literally almost before I left today. UAB becomes the first Division I team to join athletes.org Players Association. So the first team to join a Players Association. Athletes.org is trying to start a Players Association.
Okay.
Their entire team became the first team to fully join the Players Association.
Okay.
It was introduced to them by the head coach, Trent Dilfer. I'm all for a Players Association because you're going to have one for collective bargaining. And it was kind of funny. They mentioned 12 to 15 months. What happens? What did I say was going to happen in 12 to 15 months?
Lunar eclipse.
Not a lunar eclipse.
Another moon landing?
This court case out in California that starts in January is going – I'm just telling everyone, and I'm telling you now so you can say, hey, Siski said it. I've been saying it for a while, but you can remember this moment. If they don't break off and get some kind of collective bargaining, the NCAA and all these conferences are going to go bankrupt as a result of this antitrust case that's in California. So they're trying to work ahead. I just thought that was very significant than an entire team. Now, UAB, getting revenue sharing, going to be hard. But it is a first step, and I actually applaud Trent Dilfer for – I applaud all coaches that are – and Trent is speaking up because he's done this. You know, he doesn't care, and he's – I say he doesn't care. He's already done his thing for his livelihood, and he's been an NFL player, successful, made a ton of money. He's trying to, like, help move and facilitate change, and let's get this thing right. I applaud him for that because not a lot of coaches want to fight that battle right now. All right. Two more things. We're going to get out of here. Depends on how I'm going to get you fired up in a second. I could not resist. So I'm going to go ahead, and I know Cole will make this a TikTok, so this will get TikTok hot.
Okay.
I was deciding, do I do story time today or I want to start incorporating my early hot takes for this next football season? And I thought with all the recent news of the portal and people leaving and all that stuff, I thought no better place to start than right here.
Okay.
My first 2024 college football hot take.
Okay.
And it is a hot take. But I have reasoning behind this. 2024 will be the last year that Deion Sanders coaches at the University of Colorado.
Wow. So you're saying that as soon as Shadur is gone,
there's one of two things that are going to happen.
He's out the door.
One of two things are going to happen, Neil.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
And you may agree with me based on this logic. This is how I come to this. One is Shadur's gone. Travis Hunter's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And Shiloh, his other son's gone.
Travis Hunter, by the way, projected by some as the number two pick in the draft in this coming draft.
Who'd they have number one?
Carson Beck.
Yeah, I mean – Travis Hunter is the...
Shadur Sanders in that same mock was like 17 or 18, somewhere in there, but a first-round draft choice. Yeah.
So you got two of his kids, and who he calls Travis Hunter is his third kid.
Okay.
They're leaving.
Yes.
Okay. I do not see anyone of that caliber going to Colorado. Okay. Haven't seen it since he's been there. I don't see it happening in the future. So either one of these two things are going to happen. They're going to have a rinse and repeat from last year, and they're going to have a 4-8, a 3-9, have a shitty year, and he's going to be like, my kids are gone. I ain't got nothing to replace this. He doesn't need the money. He's not going to let his legacy, is, in my opinion, one of the best NFL players to ever play, one of the best athletes, period, to ever play, to lace the cleats up. He's not going to let his legacy go down as being a terrible football coach. But if he has another bad year, he ain't watching that shit. He's going to go watch his kids because he doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the job.
Right.
Or two, Neil, hear me out. I'm going to be, this is positive for all the Colorado lovers out there. Or he's going to do really well this year and he doesn't have, because he's not replacing these guys. Okay. He doesn't have, there's not like, he's not loading up with dudes. Mm-hmm. So all these talented guys leave and he has a great year. There's going to be some job openings. He'll bounce. He'll go somewhere else. I just don't see him coaching at Colorado past this season.
So 2024 is the swan song at Colorado for Deion Sanders.
At Colorado. That's my hot take.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah. I don't see him coaching past this year.
I don't have a hot take yet.
I don't know, like, I mean, you can, people, you're going to the Big 12.
I think my hot take, I don't even know how hot it is. The SEC will put five teams in the 12-team tournament.
I'm going to say four.
Okay. I'll go five.
I just think they're going to be, I don't think they're going to go that strong year one. I think they're going to try to bounce it out. But
yeah,
they're going to have five definitely caliber teams.
Yes.
Yeah. I would be, I'm going to stick with four on that one. But yeah, that's my, I just don't, I think one of the two things will happen. He's lost Dylan Edwards. He's lost the corner, who the corner's got his own issues and all that stuff anyway, but he's talented. Lost the other running back that was at Houston. He's losing good players and then replacing them. And that's the thing, is like, if you want to be a really good college football team, you got to have depth. And I don't see the depth being developed or added on to. It's a depth game. And they have nothing at quarterback behind Shador. And he is immensely talented. And he just sometimes he presses and tries to do too much. But look, I that's my hot take for 2024. All right, Neil, this is time to set off. This is set off Neil time right here.
Okay.
Okay. This is the best thing. I'm going to venture to say in the next 3 minutes we get banned by TikTok after this one, because this is where I started last time.
Okay.
All right. This is the best thing I saw all weekend. All right, so as you and I have discussed, I never felt as a player. Go ahead.
We're going to make this something, because this sounds like we're heading into some life advice area here.
This is some good life advice.
Life advice presented by Cole Walters, State Farm Insurance. Cole Walters is licensed in auto, home, life, health, business, and pet insurance for the whole state of Georgia. Contact Cole at 706-525-7850. You can also find him online at ColeWaltersInsurance.com.
De Niro Goode, our good friend, called in the show, says, what caliber job would he get, though? Let's say he wins. Here's the thing that you can't deny about Deion. Is the what he has done branding-wise for Colorado, not many coaches could do that. And so in this new age of NIL and raising money and things like that, people who can build a brand for your university have just as much, if not more, value to a university and organization than a great X's and O's coach.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does.
I mean, what he's done, nobody can argue. Now, look, the Joker gets after him. The Joker's been retired a little bit. He'll come back out in the football season. Mm-hmm. But you can't argue with the job he's done branding the university.
No.
Nobody can argue that point.
No, absolutely not.
He literally has them, every time he says something out of his mouth, it gets covered.
And they've recruited better than they did before.
Allegedly.
It's just, that might be one of those jobs that it's just not possible.
Anytime the athletic director was asked in his press conference, how are you going to pay for this contract? He says, I don't know. We'll figure it out. Probably not a good sign of where you're at financially. But what he's done from a branding standpoint, nobody can argue with. And that does, in today's new era of college football, that does have value. Now, we ain't talking about coaching. We're not talking about making decisions and taking the ball first and overtime and trying to tell everybody that you knew what you're doing. I ain't talking about all that. Talking about straight branding. And if he goes and wins, I'm just telling y'all right now, if he goes and wins, and some people are saying, if he wins eight games, Neil, If Colorado wins 8 games this fall, he will get another job somewhere, a bigger job. Guarantee it.
And deserve it.
I guarantee you somebody will hire him.
If he takes that train wreck of a program to 8-4 in the second year, he deserves another job.
Guarantee you that will happen. Now, sure. Will that happen? I don't personally think so.
Well, I'm skeptical.
I am extremely skeptical.
But
show
sure.
me. But
sure.
I'm willing to see. All right. Now.
All right, here we go.
Neil, as you and I have discussed before, I'm talking about my entire life playing, coaching some big games and some big moments. I was never nervous, ever. I was like, I love to shoot the ball last. I wanted the ball in my hands. I like calling the plays. I'm talking about zero stress level. I don't know why. It's a gift that the good Lord gave me.
Okay.
Never, ever thought, got out of control in big moments.
Okay.
However.
I can't say the same.
When my child gets in a game,
yes.
In a big moment, I damn near feel like I'm about to shit myself.
I would say throw up, but yes.
Yeah. So Saturday or Friday, Brock goes in to run, and everybody in the building knows he's running. And they were down by 1 in the sixth inning. And I'm sitting here like I'm talking about my adrenaline was going like I was getting ready. Like if you ever had a – like people who know, if you're at fault before and you get that rut, like I was going, oh, God. Like just – I said, just don't let it get picked off. And sure as a shit not – he was – by the way, he was picked off. They called him safe. His ass was out at first base. And you can't – he broke his finger, by the way, doing it. I asked him, anything wrong with your damn legs? Get up and run. You'll be all right. So – but anyway, I distract myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Best thing I saw all weekend. So I pull up the old news app on my phone and I'll just look up when it's getting ready time, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the phone. Protesters, in America right now, we have, there's two news stories going on. It's tornado outbreaks.
Yeah.
And it's, the protesters.
It's a shame they can't be in the same place.
There goes TikTok. See you guys. So a lot of articles about protesters. Very tense moment in the game, and I start laughing out loud uncontrollably, and people start staring at me. And I it just made me laugh so hard. So a group of protesters in Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, they're getting after it. They turned on themselves and started protesting themselves. Because their protest.
That's kind of their only way to achieve intimacy. So.
Their protest because why, Neil?
Why? What were they protesting?
Because their own protest group that they got together was not diverse enough. The best thing I saw all weekend.
Oh, that's great.
So it was like a really tense moment in the baseball game, and I'm trying to distract myself, and I start laughing, and I had like some dads sitting next to me, and I'm trying to show them the article, and they're like, they're like looking at me like, who the fuck are you? Like, what's wrong with you? Because I'm trying to distract myself. And that was the best thing I saw all weekend. So I knew you would dig at the protesters turned on themselves.
I loved I was watching, they found this interview. They found one of these crazy ass, goofy 20-something year old idiots protesting something, and she was going on and on about what was wrong with the country was that
tell me.
Yeah, shocking. Yeah. What was wrong with the country was that straight white men still had advantages that she didn't have, and so they pressed her on it. Well, Well, I mean, I there's so many. Name one. Well, I mean, she couldn't. And they kind of like, you know, come on. You're just protesting to protest. If you're not, if you have a protest. I'm for sending them to Palestine as a group and going, all right, you're there. Help. Let's see how you like it now. Volunteer to help Hamas. With your pink ass hair and all your stuff. Good luck.
Well, see, that's the point where I would like to go. I would say, okay, y'all do realize that 95% of you, if they loaded you up right now, and took you, and they said, hey, you can go fight for them. The second you get off the plane, you would be stoned to death.
Yeah.
Because of your appearance. Like, they don't even, like.
Yeah, it's I mean, at the risk of like really,
we got a red line up on TikTok.
Oh, there it is.
There you go, TikTok.
TikTok.
TikTok. So we have.
No, I mean, that's not to even belabor the point. It's just what you have is you have this thing that you have these.
Oh, they did it again, by the way. We got to say before you get going. All right, so we had the red line go across TikTok. All right, before we started that, I looked because this happened the other day. All right, we had 6,000. We had 6,200 likes on our TikTok.
Now we're
live.
Down to zero.
We are down. They cut us. Now we're down to 2,200.
It's not even worth doing. It's not even worth having. Thank God for Elon Musk. Seriously, no matter how you feel about life, whatever side of this you're on, thank God for Elon Musk, for Joe Rogan, for a lot of the people who do promote the ability to have a conversation about something.
Just have a debate.
The ability to have a disagreement about something. The ability to call something out for being stupid if you think it's stupid. The censorship like this is silly. I mean, it is silly. Frankly, you proved the point.
You did. Appreciate you, TikTok.
Thank you. I mean, I could just go on and on.
Hey, now look. Now I told Drew. He says you got to get Neil stirred up tomorrow. I said I got something to get him stirred up. You're close right now. This is like when you've had seven beers.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, do I go eight or not?
Do I go eight or not?
It's like let's go. Let's go eight. Come on, what we got? Let's go.
It's just people ask why the moon landing thing. All right. Why would you even entertain the possibility that it's a hoax? God, I don't know. I mean, let's go back to March of 2020 and look at the series of lies we were told. Is it conceivable that they told one more? Sure. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't on the moon. I don't know whether they got there or not. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and go, sure, they did it. Okay? But if you came down and told me today, emphatically, empirically, showed me the film of them scamming the American public.
Okay.
I wouldn't even be a little surprised. As opposed to in 2019, I would have been, oh my God, this is shocking. Now I'm like, oh, that's it. I'm sure they're capable of anything. So when someone tells me, hey, Watergate was kind of an inside job. Okay, sure. Hey, the CIA killed Kennedy because they didn't want him to pull out of Vietnam. They wanted the Great War Machine to get going. I go, huh, pretty interesting. I mean, I hate that I'm that way. But they lied about masks, knowing it was a lie. They lied about the vaccines, killing people in the process, knowing it was a lie. They shut down schools when people said, hey, you probably don't need to do this to young people. This is probably not a great idea. Suicide rates are going to go up. Education gap is going to increase. The haves and have-nots is going to have an even bigger learning gap than before. No. Yep, sure enough, all the data's in now. And so, yeah, I mean, does anyone trust the media? You look at the censorship thing. Like in 2020, they... The whole, well, Hunter's laptop's made up. Turns out it wasn't. I mean, everybody kind of knew it, but we do these things. And so, of course, yeah, 4 or 5 years later, you look up and nobody believes anything. Nobody trusts. We're getting ready to have a – this is not political, what I'm about to say.
No, not at all.
No, it's not. It's not.
I'm good. I'm here for it.
We're getting ready to have a presidential election between two people that two-thirds of all Americans don't like. Neither Trump nor Biden can get over about 40% approval. Think about that. Those are our two choices. And at the end of this election, no matter who is declared the victor, literally half the country's not going to believe the result. They're not going to trust the result. They're not going to accept the result. That's where we've gotten. We didn't get there by accident. It's all kind of like you can't help but wonder, like, who's pulling all these strings? Because when I was a kid, I mean, I realize I'm an old man. I got this one guy that trolls me, calls me grandpa and stuff, but which is funny.
Not
to me.
Yet.
Not yet. No, I mean.
Not yet.
Not yet.
You will be, though, one day.
I mean, God willing, sure. Yeah. But in my in my lifetime, nobody was like, you know. I mean, I remember the night that Carter beat Ford. my first memory of anything political.
I do not remember
and
that.
And no, you weren't old enough. I asked my dad, I was 6 years old, I asked my dad, who'd you vote for? And he said, you don't tell people who you vote for.
Yeah.
You don't talk about that.
I remember
and
that.
And I said, okay.
I remember my parents being like that.
And I think my parents, my dad worked in a fairly liberal field, education, but he was conservative. He is conservative. My dad voted for Ford, but he accepted the result. 4 years later, Reagan won. People accepted that result. You know what I mean? But now, no one's going to accept the results. We've created a really nasty system. And the censorship thing, it's the worst part of it. It's the literal worst part of it. And it's why you have people that, it's why you have idiots in their 20s, truly idiots, on these college campuses and stuff, raising all sorts of hell about a conflict that they really can't explain to you.
I have no idea.
And if you have the audacity to simply ask a question along the lines of, hey, why are we sending so much money to Ukraine? How's that going? Just a status update. If I invest in your company, if I invest in QuickU, I give you $5 million.
Okay.
And then you come back and you need a little more, and I give you a little more. At some point, if I ask you as an investor, hey, how's the company coming along? How's everything at QuickU? That's not an unrealistic question. That's not an unreasonable thing for me to ask.
Uh-oh.
You would say, oh, let me show you what's going on. Well, here's what we're doing. Here's what we've done, whatever. But if you say to me, oh, that's not important. You don't need to know. By the way, we need more. I'm probably not going to, oh, yeah, sure thing. Here you go.
Right.
And that's what we do. And then if someone goes, I'm just asking, like, how's it going over there? Like, how's it progressing? Are we winning? Are we losing?
Do you buy into the – I got a question for you since you brought up Ukraine. I have never thought about this, but you know how, like, we get all the coverage and then some of the Israeli-Palestinian war?
Yeah.
I guess you can call it Palestinian, Hamas.
Yeah.
Why have we never seen – why do we not get Ukraine-Russia footage?
That's my point. That's my point.
When was the last time you saw some?
It's been years since we've gotten a substantive update from Ukraine as to the status of this conflict. I'm not saying it's not the right thing for us to do it. I'm not.
Yeah.
People think you, because you say that and people go, how dare you? You're pro-Putin. You're a Russian apologist. I didn't say any of that. I'm simply saying if I'm investing in a company or I'm investing in a cause, like if everybody pick something, I mean, the QuickU examples are really good.
Yeah.
You get investors to invest in your company. Mm-hmm. You produce the company. You start trying to move forward with your business. At some point, the people who invested just might ask, hey, Tyler, how's QuickU coming along?
What's going on over there?
It's not unreasonable. And you answer with, well, here's what's going on.
Yep.
Right?
Every time.
I mean, you've been down that road.
Been down that road. I got lucky that I have a unique deal. As I know, already know my investors, so I talk to them all the time anyway. Mine's probably a little bit different than that. But, yeah, we talk about updates all the time.
Yeah.
Who we're adding.
Of course.
Software additions.
Of course. Like more than fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that in every major company in the world.
Correct.
You know, you invest, you ask. Shareholder meetings, you've heard of those?
I have.
We don't have shareholder meetings on this, and yet no one, it's my biggest, I'm going to tell you, you want to change the world, finish my rant right here.
Oh, you're good. That's what it's
our show. You want to change the world? You want to change the country? You want to make the country better? Let me tell you how to do it. No more federal withholdings from your paycheck. No more state withholding from your paycheck. Oh, hold up. No, I'm going to get there.
I'm all in for this.
There's a punchline. Don't take Social Security out of your paycheck. Don't take any withholdings out of your paycheck. If you make, I'm just making up a number. You make $100 an hour. Okay. You work 40 hours a week. You get 40 times 100. You get your money, a check. Now, come April 15th, or at some point between March 15th and April 15th, whatever it is, you got a tax window, right? You got to march your happy ass down to the local courthouse and write those checks. Got to write a check to the federal government. Got to write a check to the state government. Got to write your Social Security. Got to write your whatever withholdings.
Mm-hmm.
People start going, no, wait a minute, hold up. Where's my money going? Where's my money going? And they'd start pushing back. The most brilliant thing anybody ever did to make people just lemmings is
smart Neil.
Withholdings.
Smart
Neil. You never see the money.
So you never know.
And therefore, you don't think of it as yours. No, you earned it. You earned it. They just took it from you. And you assume that it's going to make things better for you and your family and your country.
You know what assuming will do, don't you?
I do. I had a coach, Bartlett, always told
us. That was his favorite saying?
He loved it. He loved it. He would love it. He'd act all pissed off, but you know he went home going, I got another one.
That has to be like a coach thing, right?
Has to be.
Like everybody that you say, where did you hear assuming makes an ass out of you and me? Who told you that? And
do you know what happens?
It's probably going to be a coach.
Do you know what happens when you assume? Even you didn't have to say assume. You could just say, well, I thought.
Yeah.
That, and he'd say, so you assumed it.
So you assumed it, huh?
Yeah, because he's waiting to set you up.
Do you know what my...
That was like almost like a D's nuts kind of thing. Yeah. The moment you walked into it, you're like, oh, damn it.
Do you know what my man... So Don Jacobs was a guy, GA4 at Troy. One of my favorite coaches of all time. Because he was a... You know what's funny is like some of my favorite coaches that you know, as time went on, like Don Jacobs won, Steve Montgomery, obviously one of them, but like that were really hard on me.
Yeah.
Like really, really hard on me.
Yeah.
But then once I quit playing, became friends, you know, it was like a transition and you realize that, hey, they're not really, you know, all that. But Don Jacobs had two good ones for football coaches. So if you got some football coaches out here, here's two good ones that I had never heard before until Don Jacobs. He would say, behind every curl, so you'd run a curl route. And so he wanted the ball to be down. Like he always taught the quarterbacks throw it, you know, waist down. He'd say, behind every curl is a corner. Talking about a cornerback, so don't throw it high.
Okay.
But my favorite one is when you would run a go route, and quarterback would throw the damn ball out of bounds. And I to this day, I'll watch TV, and I'll see it, and I'll say, he goes, if you throw the ball out of bounds, it's automatically incomplete.
It's true.
If you throw the ball every single time, every time on a go ball, that the ball will go out of bounds. Every time, he'd go, if you throw the ball out of bounds, it's automatically incomplete. Then he'd stop for a second. He'd go, hell, I got a great idea. Won't we give the motherfucker a chance? Won't we just give the motherfucker a chance? Love him. My man Jake. He's still coaching, by the way.
But you want to fix problems? That'd do it.
Yeah. No, it would.
If we as taxpayers said, hey, here's all I'm asking for. I'm asking for a status update. I just want a status update. I want to know where my money went.
Hey, we got a TikToker on the Super Chat. That's Wall Street G. Is it true that Rico coached with you at Ole Miss? No, Rico's never coached. But he convinces people that he knows what he's talking about.
That's funny.
It's funny.
Your boy Rico.
Bless him. You got to give the guy a little credit. He's hustled. He's up to like, I don't know, 100. And I looked at his profile like whenever he went after us again a couple weeks ago.
Did he?
Yeah.
What's up, Rico?
I think that was the Luganville thing. I think he went after.
Yeah, he was upset about that.
He was upset about that. We didn't mention him by name. But if the shoe fits.
I mean, if the shoe fits.
In that case,
he felt that shoe fitting like a glove.
I'd love to like do a show and get him on the board. Let him show me some scheme.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That'd be funny.
That'd be fun. Where's he based?
I don't know.
Maybe we could go see him.
Yeah, we could go do a show.
Just say, can we get him on the board. Get a board. Let's film it.
Show me what you're seeing.
Tell me what you're seeing.
Yeah, let's go. Just put it up on the show. That'd be great. That'd be beautiful.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. Now that we've lost all the momentum that we built for.
We're
down to like seven likes.
We got... We started going back up. We're at 2,400 likes now. So they took us from 6,000, I think it was 6,600, down to 2,200. Now we're back up to 2,400.
Okay.
We got Coach T in the chat said he coached against Coach Jacobs, Scottsboro versus North Jackson. He's a good one. He's the best one. Good story about Don Jacobs. You'll appreciate it. So he was a quarterback. I think he was Bear Bryant's last quarterback.
Oh, okay. I remember him. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And he never, when I coached with him, and I don't know, I haven't talked to him since, but he never ran quarterback sneak ever as a play because when he was at Alabama, he fumbled quarterback sneak, and I think it was against Georgia, and they lost the game like 9-7. he fumbled as a quarterback, fumbled quarterback sneak going in. He never called it. Like, wasn't in the playbook.
Wow.
So the only – wasn't in the playbook. So he never called quarterback sneak because of that. I think it was 1980.
Somewhere in there. Because Brian died in 82.
I know he was – I know he's a star. I think that was 1980, the year Georgia, I think.
Because I grew up in
Georgia won the national championship in 1980?
81.
I think it was the year they won the national championship or whatever, but he fumbled a quarterback sneak going in, and he didn't call anymore.
I grew up an Alabama fan. Bear Bryant was like a god as a little
still
boy.
Still is.
Yeah, in many ways.
Still is. I tell you, I don't care what anybody says. There's no cooler moment than when you're on the field in pregame in Tuscaloosa and Bryant Denny, and they play that montage that they play, and it's usually right before we go back in the tunnel.
I just got class. And
like when you hear his voice come over the loudspeaker.
Class.
Yeah. Mama ain't raised nothing but a winner. Like it gives you, that's good shit. We got some good ones, man. Pat Dye was a good one. I grew up an Auburn fan, so I was a big Pat Dye fan growing up.
Yeah.
So my first,
the first time I got to meet Pat Dye when I was covering Auburn. It was pretty cool.
Ever told you about, I got a quick story time. We got to go. I got a quick story time for you. I got to meet Pat Dye. So Jim Dye, his nephew, was coaching. I was a GA and was our offensive line coach at Troy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a GA, you get to do GA things and you get a paid gopher, basically, a low paid gopher. And he's like, hey, I need you to go by and pick up my uncle from my house and bring him to the game. Like, we're at the stadium. So I left and went to pick him up. So I picked up Pat Dye from Jim Dye's house. He'd had a couple of beverages, and I had to go pick him up and drove him back to the stadium. That was, for me as a kid, he had no idea, you know. For me as a kid, that was pretty damn cool.
Yeah, he was always kind of fun to talk to.
Yeah, he was not in a conversational mood at that point in time. That 5-minute ride we had.
He was quiet.
He was quiet. Quiet. Probably a little cranky.
Yeah, probably so.
he had a couple.
Yeah.
He was about 5 hours into the podcast, I think, when I picked him up.
Man, I always, as a young reporter, I always loved all those old coaches.
Yeah.
Like, that was fun. Bill Oliver was a blast. Man, he was awesome. Pete Jenkins. God, I love some of those guys.
Bill Oliver, Pete Jenkins.
I learned a lot about how to cover football from those guys.
So, my very first college football game that I went to was Bo Jackson's first game at Auburn.
Oh, how about that?
I saw him, his first carry, he scored a touchdown against Wake Forest. That was my first college football game to go to. And I was sitting in the south end zone at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and he ran right at me, first carry, because they were like, oh, here comes that new kid. Best athlete to ever live.
Agreed.
Ever.
Agreed. I mean, certainly the best one I've ever seen on any TV or in person or anything.
Best athlete ever.
I mean, maybe there was somebody before, but I didn't see him.
Pretty damn good.
He was amazing.
It's funny as Brock will see, you know, Brock's now on social media and all that stuff. He'll see a video. There'll be like a baseball highlight of Bo Jackson from when he was at Kansas City. He's like, have you seen it? Watch this shit. And I was like, yeah, dude, he was the one. If you go back, he could play at any generation. He'd be the best now. You know, he was so far ahead of his time athletic wise.
His the way the ball came off his bat was different. I mean, it was.
Well, you just throw people out from the wall.
But the ball came off his bat sort of like, Shohei. That type of exit velocity, that was back before they measured exit velocity. But I guarantee you balls came off his bat 118, 119.
Oh.
Yeah, just, it's about as fast as a ball can physically come off the bat. Yeah, pretty there much. Are laws of physics that.
Hey, last thing, we're going to let y'all go, but I'm gonna let Neil do this one. Grind says in the chat, says, Neil, y'all owe the left some nice comments before we leave.
I'll give you one.
Okay.
I'll give you one. The Democratic Party, if it was a football team, if the Democrats Party was a football coach and the Republican Party was a football coach, here's why the Republicans lose all the time. You want to know? I'm going to put you in a football.
Tell me about it, Neil.
Republicans lose because they are like the coach that has this, he's got this intricate passing scheme, okay? He puts it up on his whiteboard, chalkboard, whatever you want to use.
It's called a grease board.
Grease board, whatever. And it's fantastic. And he's like, look at this, look at this. I've got an answer for every single thing. Corner goes here, we go here. And then they watch the film of their opponent that they're going to play that week. And some guy, one of the smart coaches says, "Hey, coach, the way to beat them, I mean, it's a sure thing. Just run the ball. Look at their line. Look at their linebackers. Their safeties don't want to hit anybody. No. Did you see my offense? It's awesome. No. Coach. I get it. It's great. But, coach, their corners are actually pretty good in coverage. Their safeties are pretty good over the top. They even drop their linebackers into coverage because they don't like to hit anybody. But they kind of like they're really good in 7-on-7, coach. But they're awful against the run. Just awful. So, sure enough, they played the game. And you look up at the end of the game, he threw it 57 times, and they lost. The Democrats, on the other hand, this is credit where it's due. They look at it, and they have the same passing thing. Oh, it's so fancy or whatever. But when they go, the way to beat this team is just run it, you look up at the end of the game and the stats say 64 rushes, 0 passes. They do what it takes. Their goal is to win. That's why they win. That's smart. I mean it as a compliment. That is smart. If they don't care how they win. They just want to win.
I love your analogy. You're the best.
And I'm not accusing of cheating or any of that. They focus in. And the Republicans, they get all this other stuff from the outside. It's what kills them. Kills them. Look, the fact, this is fact. The fact that this election coming up is losable, that this election is losable for the Republicans given what all the mess that Biden has.
Yeah.
People are upset at Biden.
That's all you need to say.
It's literally, here we go. I'm about to finish the analogy and we'll get out of here. Biden, his popularity is lower at this point than Jimmy Carter's was. I don't know how many of y'all remember Jimmy Carter, but at the end of his administration, like, everyone hated him. Everyone. He was just viewed as incompetent, inept. Biden stumbles around, shuffles around. I mean, it's like there's...
Pause.
Yeah. Pause. You're not supposed to read that. I mean, he just makes stuff up. And yet, there's a decent chance. At least the coin toss.
So does the other guy.
That's my point. There you go. Because we're going to, by God, throw it around. I mean, we're going to throw it around. We're going to get at least 2 pick sixes because the corners are actually good. We're going to do it. And probably not going to run the ball enough. Because the truth is right now, if you were to say, okay, who do you think's going to win? It's like, I don't know, kind of flip a coin, right? I mean, if you're like, put your politics aside and you're trying to predict this outcome, like you're betting on Boise State, San Jose State, you don't really care. You're just trying to find a winner, right? Trying to make money. You're like, I don't know. It could kind of go either way. If the Republicans were running really anyone else, this thing's probably over. And the fact that it's not close to over. In fact, some of the polling data that came out over the weekend, it's like every swing state.
I don't trust that either.
I don't either. But but if you even remotely believe it, everything's a toss-up.
Grind in Cooper Chevrolet chat said, this made me laugh. I was over here crying while you were talking to. He says the Republicans are like a Gus Malzahn offense.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey.
That's the best example.
Gus will do it.
We're going to
whatever it takes.
I've got this fancy play. No, they're probably Gus is
no.
Like,
Gus is more no. Gus is a Democrat.
Okay,
offense. Gus will run the ball 78 times if he thinks that he get a 0.1 yard advantage.
It's a Hugh Freeze offense. We're gonna run something fancy.
No, yeah,
gonna put Kandichi at running back.
Hugh's okay. Hugh's a Democratic. Okay. He'll do whatever. Okay. He does not.
But think about it. Next time you're kind of watching coaches outsmart themselves.
I've seen plenty of
sometimes
it.
Sometimes the simple attack's the right one. And they don't do it. But the Democrats, to their credit, they do. The reason they're sticking with Biden through all this is twofold. One, they're not sure they have anybody else. And number two, they think, oh, my God, he might actually win.
That's true. You know what we need to do? Our next long show?
No.
We need to meet you and I. We need to get in here with our guy, Hendrickson.
Yeah, Hendrickson's going to be in here Thursday night.
And do a... election results live show
that night. Oh my God!
Have this place just freaking melting down.
Just have TikTok would lock, they'd lock
oh,
us
TikTok
up.
Wouldn't even allow us to hit the live button.
Yeah,
they'd be like, "Nope, these guys, he's you're gone. Out of here."
Nope.
Yeah, but that's the other beautiful thing. So all of our TikTok people that are listening, So I knew that as soon as we got monetized on TikTok, they were going to get us like this. So, you know, they've basically signed the bill to ban TikTok if they don't sell it. You know, it's over 1% of the company, right?
Yeah.
It's over 1% ownership. But the most beautiful thing is our sponsors, the Biden-Harris administration, are using, they signed the ban to get rid of it, but they're using TikTok it, using TikTok as promotion for the campaign.
I rest my case. I rest my case. We've been brought to you by our friends at Reign Total Body Fuel, 300 milligrams, natural caffeine, BCAAs, electrolytes, zero sugar. It's got what you need to push the limits and achieve your goals. So check them out on Instagram at Reign Body Fuel to learn more. We'll be back with you guys on Thursday. Until then, for Tyler, I'm Neil. Take care.
I appreciate you guys on TikTok. I'll try to answer a couple of these questions.